Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive.
eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered.
With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for.
And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins.
That's right. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Door Bumper Clear. I'm Freddie Kraft. After this week's races at Kansas, we covered the delayed caution for the tire, wild restarts at the finish, the super confusing all-star format, next-gen car unveil, and much more. Blake, play us in.
Nobody's listening, but I don't care. I'm on an episode of Door Bumper Clear.
Hey everybody, I'm TJ Major, spotter of the 22 Cup Car, the one truck, full house, and on time.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Jason, you're going to have to cut out everything in this show today. Brett, who are you?
Hey, what's up, Brett Griffin, spotter for nobody this past weekend. I went and watched Bodie go 4-0 with the Copperheads, won the championship, watched the girls dance Nashville, and I played couch spotter all weekend.
And I didn't get any text messages, so that was good.
That's because Jeb wasn't racing. Jeb, I don't have nothing to y'all about.
What's up? Freddie Kraft, spotter for Bubba Wallace. Derek Krause, turn two at Kansas, can kiss my ass. both my guys hit the wall the exact same spot with the exact same part of the car and ruined both their races. So that was the wrap-up of my weekend. What's up, Case?
Hello. I would like to point out to everybody who decided to notify me this morning that I was going to be late to the show that I was early.
Hail has frozen over.
I was here before everyone else, and Brett, I hate you because
you know how when you blocked
me, so I don't know what you said, but everybody started taking bets I would be late. So this morning, my Twitter was blowing up.
You know how you know you're late a lot is when you announce when you're early.
No, it's just because you always call me out when I'm not late.
Listen, I'm not against you. I'm just saying that would be a common thing. Never mind. I'm just going to stop.
Yep, you should stop. Anyways, Jason.
Hey, Jason Schultz here. Fresh back from the beach, which was nice.
I saw which beach you go to.
Pawleys Island.
Oh, South Carolina. Pawleys Island.
It's great.
Yeah, I bet
great
you killed
summer.
Some red claws or what, white red claws. Claws. Or whatever.
You look like you got a little tan there.
There's a good fish camp.
Well,
down
I drove
there.
Home and I think I had the window open for half the ride. So like half my face is like sunburnt, I think, from literally driving home with the window open.
That doesn't make any
first
sense.
World
I might not be my new one idiot for the weekend.
Good Lord.
Anyways, how was Kansas for those who were there?
I think me and TJ had about the same experience this week.
Tell us about turn two, Freddie. You clearly love it.
We just were racing hard and we're underneath Bowman, and there was somebody on the bottom. We were kind of middle of three wide and just racing hard for Lucky Dog, got loose and tagged the wall with the right rear and knocked it over like 12 feet and took all of our side force away, and we just rode around the rest of the day pretty much. But
I hate to say that it was good to see that happen, because it certainly wasn't good to see that happen to you. But we always talk about how stuck to the racetrack these cars are. As Bubba was turning down that hill in the middle there, it was obvious that the air became a problem, and he got loose and washed up the track. So I am glad we see that happen, because we see all too often
thanks a lot.
That
it's
they're
not
just
enough.
Glued to the
there's,
racetrack.
There's not still not enough.
I don't know if TJ can agree with this or not, but I feel like the wind probably played a bigger factor this week, just because it was pretty windy there, especially Friday night or Saturday night for the truck race. But we've seen that in the ARCA race too. Like the first lap, kid went in there underneath somebody and lost it.
It's usually three and four.
Yeah.
And the three is usually the windy problem.
Yeah. but
I hate windy. Like I don't know how people live in those windy parts of the world. I don't want anything to do with it.
I mean, it's, Kansas, when you're there, you just know automatically.
Yeah, it's usually really windy there. Like, especially in a three, normally there's a big flag you can see, and it's blowing straight down the backstretch, and everyone goes into three the first time and misses the bottom. So we saw Bell lose it down there too. So
I think he had help.
I mean,
I don't think he got hit.
But
yeah,
he
got hit. That later.
Yeah, but it was earlier, wasn't it?
Just before he got in the corner. We'll talk about it.
Yeah, don't worry. We've got that covered.
What else this weekend? I don't know. I seen Wyndham won finally for Chad. It's about
CBI.
Time he did something. I talked to him a little bit. The night before, he told me he was actually going to win, so that was impressive. And then the next...
Ask him why he didn't win on Friday night.
Sunday, for some reason, he was in a bad mood when I talked to him, so we'll have to get to the bottom of that. But he was pissed off after the race.
He was pissed off after the race?
After the cup race, yeah.
Oh, after the cup race.
Yeah, I think he was upset Larson lost for some reason.
Oh, weird. Anyways,
but I think there are a lot of people upset Larson lost.
Yeah, I would be. I mean, I'd be upset too. The guy dominated 90% of the race and then gave it away on the last couple restarts.
Those restarts were crazy.
I think I'm impressed that this was another first time winner for the year. I mean, somebody who should have won
10 winners
earlier.
In 11 races, right?
Yep,
that's insane.
Yeah, we had Kyle pegged to get one though.
Yeah,
and we still have Denny and Chase.
Denny and Harv.
And Chase on that list.
You got at least wins. Four more on that list, right?
I think it was three more for sure.
Harvick. Yeah.
Harvick, Denny, Chase.
Chase.
And that was
bunch
it.
Of road courses coming up.
Yeah.
Somebody's and I'm gonna not going to lie, there. Man. What if with Cindric running some of them, could he win a road course?
Could AJ win? AJ had a chance to win.
Yeah. You know, I mean, imagine if one of them each won a race.
I mean, AJ went to the back three times, finished seventh. I mean, they could.
Yeah.
I can tell you who will be pulling for him to win a race. Some guys sitting there 14th and 15th in points.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'll help them out for sure.
TJ, how do you go from winning the race last year at Kansas to getting your butt kicked yesterday?
Well, we weren't that good last year. We weren't like a winning car last year.
Say that again.
We were not a winning car last year. And Paul Wolf put us in position to – Paul Wolf and the pit crew, we beat Harvick out. Paul made a late pit call there that gave us track position, and then we had a late pit stop that the pit crew got us out in the lead, and we were able to maintain it. But just, I don't know, we've struggled there. I know we won, but that was just, we clearly weren't much faster than Harvick. I mean, he was all over us for 40 laps. So, but it's just air, too. We started 29th. You're stuck in that. The air's really bad back there. You know how it is. The closer you get to the front, like, we took two tires and came out there. We're in them, like, fifth or sixth, and we were going to maintain in that area just because of the air. The air's better. So, it just took us... It took us forever to get to that opportunity because there weren't a lot of opportunities with cautions and stuff like that. So finally, Paul got a chance to take a swing at it and did. And I thought we were going to come out of there with a top 10, but a couple restarts and we had to lift in that last one whenever the 12 and the 5 got into it. And we were just right in behind them. We had to lift and lost everything we had gained at that point. So, but definitely struggled.
Brett, how was your... Your weekend?
It was good, man. We Megan actually came to our ball games, Freddie's the prettier half, and
better half.
Man, we just kicked everybody's butt this weekend. My boy Kevin Major and Toby Tomlin, our coaches, were on their game. Kevin listens to our podcast, and so
he does.
Apparently, yeah, we said his name a few weeks ago. So one of his sons came over to me at the ballpark and was like, "Hey, I just want to tell you that don't ever say my dad's name on the podcast again, because every time we get in the car, he keeps playing that clip and talking about how famous he is." So he lives over in the 115 side of Mooresville over there by Freddie. But, yeah, we had a great weekend. The boys played great. So much fun. Dave Pannenbacher was there. His kid just won the conference championship in lacrosse, and so he was at Piedmont College watching that on Friday, and he looks at me yesterday. He's like, "This is way more stressful than watching lacrosse," because we were in a championship game, 115-11. So, fun weekend, man. Can't beat. And then we had a pool party after.
We did.
Yeah, it was like an impromptu pool party.
Honestly, it sounds like your retired life is a struggle.
It is a struggle.
Poor guy.
It was a long weekend.
Got to drink a lot.
I just have to know, did anybody win at the casino? Like, did you guys stay away from the casino?
No casino for me.
I haven't been in that casino in forever.
I don't think I've ever been in there.
I won $250 at the Wizard slots.
Really?
We really don't have a lot of time. When did you go there? Friday or Saturday?
Yeah, Saturday morning.
Yeah, I mean, I
had the crack of stupid.
I did go with the crack.
I left Saturday at noon here, so we got there and just ate lunch and went to did the truck race.
I don't think I've ever been in that casino.
I've never won money in that casino.
Somebody, I forget who was telling me this, but remember, what's his name drove Chad's truck?
Jonathan
Mason
Mingus. Oh. And I forget another spotter. I think it might have been like Barkdahl or somebody went over to the casino. And I don't know if you guys aren't aware of this. The casino is off of turn two, so you can see the racetrack from the casino.
It's pretty cool, yeah. I will admit.
And he's like, "Hey, who's that kid that drives Billy Boat's truck?" And I'm like, "Mingus?" He's like, "Yeah." He said, "His dad's over here sitting at the bar with his radio on watching the race." Yeah. So I don't know if he was talking on the radio, but he was sitting at the bar ready to go with his radio on watching the truck race about, I don't clear. Know, God, 10 all years clear. Ago now, probably. Yeah.
A little late.
Just start yelling. But yeah, I don't think I've ever been over there.
All right. It's well,
cool.
Yeah,
cool area great. Around the racetrack.
It's huge. Growing
definitely
up,
one of my
more.
Favorite. Yeah.
Before we get started today, we'd like to take a moment of silence for Eric McClure and Bobby Unser, who passed away over the weekend.
Let's hear more about our amazing presenting sponsor, OfferPad.
This is the one. Let's sell.
Gotcha. Home selling with OfferPad is as easy as...
Welcome to OfferPad. How can we help?
We want to sell our home to buy this one.
Cool. Sell to buy. Yep. Sell express. Cash offer in 24 hours and a free move.
We let you choose your closing date.
We're ready. Close in 14 days.
Okay, we're moving fast. Let's do this. Go team!
Take control. Selling is easy with OfferPad Express. Request your free offer today at OfferPad.com.
We're headed to Darlington, the race this weekend. If you're looking to buy or sell a home in the state, the lovely, the best state of South Carolina, we have some really good news.
That's right, Brett. OfferPad has markets in the great state of South Carolina for those of you looking to live in the Palmetto State.
OfferPad's markets include Greenville, Fort Mill, Rock Hill, Spartanburg, and many more. Go to OfferPad.com/locations to see all the places where OfferPad operates.
See, I love Greenville, but it's too close to Clemson. Fort Mill, some of the best schools in the state. Rock Hill used to kick our tails in football. A lot of big-name guys come out of there. So when you're ready to sell your home, log on to OfferPad.com and complete the 5-minute form about your home. You'll get a cash offer in your inbox within 24 hours.
Go sell your home with OfferPad today. When asked where you heard about OfferPad, select the NASCAR option so they know we sent you.
Spot on, spot off. First topic, NASCAR throws a caution for a tire in the grass after it sat there for 15 laps and then says, Jason?
Jeff Gluck tweeted this explanation from NASCAR. They said the tire was far enough away from the racing surface where they felt comfortable completing the pit stop sequence before retrieving the tire, but ultimately they still had to go get it. Brett, spot on, spot off.
Oh boy.
Couch spotting at its finest.
This is not couch spotting. This is...
So you either throw the caution when this happens or you never throw the caution. You can't do what they did here because people are banking on you throwing the caution based off of it being a danger, right? If a car wrecks, hits that tire, that's an 80-pound tire that can go flying through the air at pit crews or whatever that may be. So I have to say, big spot off here. I don't care what the explanation is. This is a big miss. And it completely changes the way the race shakes out. I mean, people are calling the race, their pit strategy, based on things that happen in real time. And this was something that should have brought out a caution immediately or not at all.
It's inexcusable. I mean, you put this statement out that was your intention. Well, if that was your intention, how come it didn't get relayed to us? Why didn't you say on the radio, oh, you know what, guys, we see that tire down there, but we're going to let you cycle all through the pits because you know why? They know how stupid that sounds, that you can't say that. And like you said, it's either if they throw the caution because it's dangerous. Okay, it's dangerous now at lap 231, but it wasn't dangerous at lap 215? That's crap. You know what I mean? Like, if the pit cycle should not affect the way you call the race. I don't, you know, it's been 100 years or 73 years of NASCAR now that's if you get unlucky and catch a caution at the wrong time, those are the breaks. But you can't alter the race because – you know, you feel like this guy hasn't pit yet and he's going to come any second, so we're just going to wait for him to pit before we throw the yellow. That's not how this works.
I mean, I was okay with it because they've been leaning that way in the past. But there's when there was a car that a car creeps around on the apron, he coasts from all the way to turn two, all the way to turn four, and then he stops. I mean, why not throw the caution when he's off turn two? If that's the case,
he's still rolling
because he's moving,
but he's still doing 10 mph. That's still just as dangerous as stopping right there. It, you know what I mean? He's creeping along the apron.
Why do they throw the caution at all?
But because it's not like I get it on both sides. Yeah, the only guy that really tried to play this hard was a 17. He's the only guy that stayed out.
That was smart enough to stay out.
He's the only guy, but he had done that earlier in the race too. Right. He stayed out really long. So that was his play all day.
So why did they throw the caution at all? That's my question to you.
Because I do think it's race altering no matter which way you throw it. Do you cycle it to the guy that's not running? Hey, here's a freebie. Go ahead up front. You didn't earn that. You know what I mean?
But my point is you can't call the race based on what's going on the racetrack. That's either a caution or it's not a caution. If it's a caution at lap 231, it was a caution at lap 215. If to use your analogy, if that guy rolls around the backstretch and stops in turn three, should we let him sit there for 15 laps or should we throw the caution as soon as he stops?
Let's let him
sit there for 15 laps.
I mean, why not? We got to wait for this guy to pit.
I mean,
let me ask you a question, Brett. If that's Chase Elliott leading the race and not the 17 car, what happens?
Put it out.
I'm fine with the fluid call, like no, like not cycling the field.
So why did we ever throw the caution if that's the case? Why didn't we just keep going?
Ultimately, I do think you have to go get it just in case. But like, it was not in a dangerous spot. But
if it's not in a dangerous spot, why did the caution come?
So was Jennifer Jo Cobb in the truck race? Was she worthy of a caution?
I mean, it's like a piece of debris laying up by the wall. Are we really going to hit that piece of debris? You know what I mean? We've watched things lay on the track for a while.
There's a big difference between a piece of debris and a 70-pound tire.
But my point is, if it's thrown in the stands, if the piece of debris is there, it's there. You throw the caution. You don't see it, go, okay, there's a piece of debris over there. In 15 laps, when this guy pits, we'll throw the caution. That's not the way these races are supposed to go. That's not. You do not call a race from the tower based on other people's pit strategy. That's not legit.
I mean, I just don't agree with flopping the race because of something that's not an immediate danger.
So if it's not an immediate danger, is it a danger at all?
It's a danger, yes.
So if it's a danger, you throw the caution. That's what the word caution means.
I mean, how many times have you seen caution for non-dangerous things? Plenty of times.
I don't know how you can honestly sit over there and say after competing in this sport for as long as you have that don't throw the caution for 15 laps is fine and then throw it for the same thing that you didn't throw it for.
I just don't agree giving freebies.
It's not a freebie.
How is it a freebie?
They did nothing wrong. The 17 did nothing wrong.
No, I'm not saying they did anything wrong. But you're cycling, you're going to put half, you're putting 50% of the cars, probably more than that. I mean, you're going to have 8 cars in a lead lap, maybe less than that.
Here's my thing. I don't have a dog in the fight because I'm not in this race, right?
I know exactly what you're saying.
You guys have dogs in the fight, right? And there are times that it can help you when they throw the caution, and there are times that it can hurt you. Clearly, it would have helped the 17 car, right? Clearly, I'm sure it hosed somebody, you know?
Yeah, I mean.
He was the only really big
swinger. It didn't really hose anybody.
But at the end of the day, you have to throw the caution if a tire is laying out there in pit road or outside of pit road and people can't go get it.
They did.
And they've never – I've never seen them do this before.
Like, it's the first time I've seen them do it with a tire.
With the tire.
First time I've seen it with a tire.
I was talking on Channel 2. As soon as I saw it happen, I think it was the 8 car, uncontrolled tire. It rolls out there. I told Wheels we had just pit, so it wasn't going to benefit us at all.
There's a lot of big names in that booth.
And I said, there's a tire laying out here. You're going to have a caution here in a second. And then as we ran about 10 laps and I realized the 17 was the only one that pit, I'm like, surely they're not going to just wait for the 17 to pit and then throw it. Sure enough, the 17 pits, and 2 laps later, put it out, debris on the front stretch. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me.
Here's what I'd love to know, and maybe we never know this. You have big names sitting in that booth watching that race, from Mike Helton to Steve O'Donnell to Jay Fabian to Scott Miller to whoever was calling the race. I'm assuming Berman or – whoever was calling the race, right?
I don't remember.
Like, who ultimately is sitting there going, hey, we're going to let them ride this one out here, boys. Let's wait till that 17 pits, then we'll throw it. Like, how in the world do you even have time to have that debate? Because if I'm calling the race as a race control guy, the minute I see that, I'm like, that tire is getting away. That tire has gotten away. That tire could pose danger. We need a caution. Put it out.
We have a 100% rule, don't we? Like, we have to give 100% 100% of the time so we don't alter or affect the outcome of the race. Why does that only apply to us? Because they This was not this is not the way they call the races, or have not called the races for years in the past, and that altered the outcome of the race, because now essentially you've either, like I said, it's either a caution at 2:15 or it's not a caution at all. So now you've thrown one with even less laps to go and bunched the field up for a restart with whatever it was, 30 to go, and now it turned into a show from that point on. Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, you just
– it'd be nice to know that if you're thinking about not throwing it, that I agree with that. It would be nice to know, like, okay, guys, this isn't – we're going to get it eventually here, but we're not going to do anything crazy. And
yeah.
Like if, it'd be nice to know that. I will say that.
Meaning, like, in the spotter stand, having, like, an official
well,
tell
they,
you
well, now they've set the tone for it. Now they've set the tone for it. So now,
but do you – but, like, so let me ask you this. Next time a tire rolls into the grass, what do you expect's going to happen?
You don't know.
It just all depends on where it's at. Like,
you don't know. You don't know.
I mean, you don't really know for sure. But, I mean, I can tell you this. If it's down towards turn one, there's a huge area there, and it's not, you know, in a dangerous spot, I can.
So you're just asking for consistency, meaning to always know what to expect so that you can plan for it when you're, Brett, to your point.
Exactly right.
I expected a caution. Stops. I was actually telling Paul. I was like, hey, we're probably going to get a caution here.
But I'm okay if they don't throw one, too, Tower. That's TJ.
I mean, I liked the – I liked it not flipping the whole race. I don't like, it's hard for me to be okay with a caution like that. You know what
so
I mean?
So Jennifer Jo Cobb on Friday, I couldn't really get a good angle of it.
It was terrible.
Obviously. Yeah, I mean, obviously. But
so, no, I'm saying the caution was terrible.
So did that warrant a caution? Because her ass was barely sticking out behind that wall.
You mean the truck?
Oh,
the truck.
On Saturday.
The ass of her truck. Her bumper was barely
Saturday.
Sticking out behind the wall.
Yeah. Yes.
Seriously?
That one.
That was not. There was. She's. In the opening that there's, you know, cleanup trucks and stuff come out of. You mean there's nobody over there that can, like, pull the front
split
of the truck
and pull her forward.
Like,
yeah.
And it was, what was it? There's only less than five to go, right?
That caution there is the really, like, I was looking at, like, are you kidding me? Like, I will say that truck is more likely to get hit there at that point of the track than that tire was.
Oh, yeah.
You're not getting through that grass without stopping in the mud or, you know, splitter getting ripped off.
I just, it is what it is.
Anyways, every driver that stayed out under caution with 20 to go finished ninth or worse, except for the race winner, Kyle Busch. Spot on, spot off, Freddie.
Spot off. Clean air's king. You know, yeah, obviously the way it shook out, the guys with tires benefited, but you're not pitting with 20 to go, banking on three more caution flags. We hadn't had a natural caution in that whole race until lap 231, when that, if you want to call that a natural caution, which was the tire on the infield. But, you know, the five car at that point, I think, had only run like 11 laps on his tires. Wheels made a comment that he was still wide open, so we were expecting him to stay out. I'm sure other guys felt the same. So I have no trouble with them guys staying out, and it just didn't work out for him because of the amount of cautions and heat cycles that ended up on their tires.
TJ.
Yes. This clean air thing, we thought it was bad 10 years ago. It is 10 times worse now than it was then. So I'm spot off, because there's got to be, you know, when we went to this package, and I was under the assumption that they were doing this so we could get a big draft and get runs on people. I mean, that's what we all thought. Oh, how are we going to hold people off? Well, it's the complete opposite still. You're out front. Yeah, that guy gets a little bit of a draft, but it's not enough to do anything with. It's not like we're running, you know, a plate race where the guy can get a huge run by himself or something. It's still clean air, man. And if you're back there in 20th, it's so bad. You know what? I mean, it's terrible. And, like, it's funny that you don't have to adjust your car. You restart 20th, your car is terrible. You restart 10th, it's a little bit better. You restart 5th, man, this thing's way better. You know, and
we had that in the end of stage two, I think. Two or maybe it would have been the first stage. But we had got gapped by about a straightaway, but we were pretty good. So we were running the next pack down, and Bubba's like, this thing's pretty good. You know, it's really good right now, really good right now. We got to the next pack. He's like, I'm tight as shit again. You know, like, it's just like, it's crazy how much that, just the car in front of you, can affect the balance of your race car. But
to me, it's this gigantic thing stuck on the back of the car still. So,
I mean, it is what it is. I mean, KFB, baby.
You know, it was AFH spotting for him Saturday night, right?
Was it?
Yeah. Andy had him, right?
Yeah.
AF Houston?
I started calling him AFH.
AFH.
Good win, AFH.
I tell you, you watch Kyle on those restarts after he pit. He must have been in low air. He was on a splitter or something, because he sucked on restarts. But once they had a cycle, he was typical
Kyle
Busch.
That next to last one, he got beat.
and he had lost the lead, I think.
Oh, he did lose the lead.
Yeah,
truck race.
Oh. Yeah, in the truck race, yeah. And he got another shot at it, made it happen.
So. Yeah, I thought Ross was going to sneak one in there, and didn't happen.
He was trying.
Yeah.
He was definitely trying.
Spot on, spot off. Daniel Suarez was not happy with Christopher Bell and said he blocked twice before a contact that sent Bell around. Freddie.
As usual, somebody else's fault. I mean, listen, restarts are crazy. Like, you don't have an – we were 4-5 wide. Like, you don't have an option of who – it's not like, oh, I'm going to block this guy. Like, you're taking every opportunity, every hole you've got to get into to advance yourself. And I think if Daniel goes back and looks, I don't know if he was mad about something that happened off of turn two, but off of two, when the lap Christopher spun, the 42 checks up. Like,
they
almost
all got
stops.
Big time up against
and,
the wall.
And,
big time.
And Christopher checks up, and Daniel's behind him, and it's like Daniel runs in the back of him, and then getting into three, runs in the back of him again. And like we talked about how much the air affects you into three. Like, that little shove into three is probably what turned Christopher around. And I think this is Daniel saying, well, you know, I was kind of tired of it. But if he considered that a block, I think when he goes back and looks at it, he's going to see it differently.
Something had to happen before that.
I'm assuming so.
That was just circumstance of people getting checked up over there, like that deal there. And but he's not gonna stand for it, man. And if you go near me, you're gonna choke hold you or something.
Hey, this is what makes racing fun, you know. And look, I saw our weather guy on the Twitter. He was complaining, going, man, I just turned the race on, and all I'm seeing of highlights are people wrecking. Is that what people tune in for? Look, riding around in a glorified parade out there single file is not a race. It's not fun. It's not entertaining. People getting mad at people and wrecking people is what makes NASCAR awesome. So
to, man, an I'm, extent, yeah,
it I mean, is sure. I mean, I'm spot on, and Daniel's obviously digging his feet in the sand here, and now we got a nice little pissing match going between Bell and Suarez. Yeah. So, man, let's get it on.
Yeah, sign me up for it, because I'm not involved in it for once. Sign me up, front row seat.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors, big and small, and when we keep them bottled up, Brett, they can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. And there's really no shame these days in getting help when you need it.
It can, man, and you got to be careful, and you don't want to carry that around by yourself. That's where these guys come in handy. Whether you've been in therapy or new to the process, BetterHelp will give you the tools and to positive thinking and coping skills and how to manage those boundaries. Therapy empowers you to be the best version of yourself. Therapy is not just for those with major traumas.
You know, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out one brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/bumper today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/bumper.
I guess they want to make it a green-white checkered. There's nothing on the racetrack, is said on the 5 radio after a caution came out with 10 to go and restarted with 2 to go. Spot on, spot off, TJ.
I really have no idea what was happening there. Do you? What like...
I mean,
we were back there racing six wide. I have no idea.
In my opinion, NASCAR didn't do anything wrong here. I think Kyle's just frustrated because he was letting.
What was the caution?
When Christopher spun out and the 47 was wrecked on the front stretch, they had all that debris in turn four.
Oh, you mean the car sitting at the start finish line?
Yeah, on fire.
That blew up, like it blew the water out of the radiator. So, they had no issue here,
so
Tower.
Here's the timeline. So the caution didn't come out with 10 to go. It was 8 to go. The caution comes out. There's literally debris everywhere in 3 and 4 on the bottom. The 47 is in a gulf of flame, engulfed in flames at the start finish line.
37 hit up by the wall.
37's creeping around, dragging around the racetrack. So that was 258 or 59, I think. So obviously you got a couple laps to clean that up. They couldn't open pit road because the pit road entry was blocked because of the debris. So they had to delay opening pit road for a couple laps. So that's 2 laps of cleanup. 2 laps of pit stops because you got to have the first time by for the leaders, second time by for the lead lappers. Then, like we've asked, and they've been doing a great job of it the last couple weeks, they moved the lap down cars around before we do the double up. So that was another lap. The next lap's 1 to go. We come to the green at 265. So I don't see anything that NASCAR did wrong. I didn't think that was an extensive cleanup. They didn't run it into overtime. They went green. It just happened to be a natural green-white checker. So I don't know. I think it's just frustration on Kyle's part because he lost the lead and had to restart
third. Kyle Larson should have the most wins in the series right now. I don't know how anybody could argue that because we've seen him obviously win a race. We saw him give away the road course by wrecking. Obviously a dominant car yesterday. He's frustrated, so spot on for him speaking his mind. Was he right? No, probably not. But, hey, there's a lot of passion, a lot of emotion in those cockpits.
It was said on the 5 radio. I'm not sure if it was Larson specifically, but it wasn't.
I mean, that was an actual wreck and a caution. I don't know.
And it wasn't like it took forever. They took two laps to clean it up and then a pit cycle. So and honestly,
Ricky was going to keep driving around until the flames started coming out of the back of the thing. And
that would have been way worse.
Driving with flames didn't work out well. I mean, listen, that's not – when it's on fire, you've got to get out.
Yeah.
Like, now.
Another Larson topic. Spot on, spot off. Kyle Larson gets into Ryan Blaney while battling for third with two to go and then end up finishing 19th and 21st respectively. Brett.
This was a case of trying too hard. I mean, I watched Larson lock bumpers with him, and he never got off of him. He just pushed him in there thinking that they were not going to have enough speed to lose control, and they both lost control, and it ruined both their days. I mean, this is where you got a guy like Larson who is trying to make something happen, literally to win the race. There's a lot of guys I know that put their helmets on and they wouldn't have been that aggressive. They would have easily taken a top five finish, went home happy. That's not how Larson was racing. He was racing to try to win the race. So while I really want to say what an idiot, I got to say spot on because that makes it exciting.
Yeah. I mean, spot on, like you said, right idea, bad execution. The only shot you have to win the race is to push the 12 and hope he can stay next to the 18 to help you develop your own run on him for the last lap. But unfortunately, you cannot shove a guy all the way through the corner. You've seen Truex give the 18 the same shove and kind of backed off him on entry to let them get through the corner, and it helped them, obviously, through the middle. But, yeah, like you said, right idea, bad execution. Spot on.
Yeah, I don't – are you telling me this is a product of him not being that good in this package or not understanding it that much?
No, I think it's a product of him just driving the shit out of his car.
Well, I mean, just saying. I mean, I just trying to bring up some old conversation.
Yeah, that's good.
I hate
TJ. He sucks at this package.
Yeah, he's awful.
I mean, not
how many laps did he lead yesterday, Jason?
I can't believe he's already playoff eligible as bad.
That
as
car looked just like Atlanta when he could drive around. He drove through the field like. He had eight tires.
Where did he start? He started like he was behind me.
He was right by us, like 29th, 30th today. He was in that area. And it was no.
See you later, losers.
It was no worse than 27th. And I looked up at like the end of the first deal, it was like eighth. And I'm like, are you kidding me? We're back here in like 21st. And I'm like, geez, holy cow. So, yeah, those guys have got that Atlanta and Kansas figured out.
We saw you do that a lot last year, though. We saw you start
sometimes
when we were qualifying. We'd see you start mid-pack, further in the back, and then all of a sudden you're up there. So, obviously, man, those guys are hitting on all the cylinders. But with these fast race cars, you got to win races because you don't know when it's going to flip. Somebody else is going to get better. You're maybe going to lose a little bit of your edge. Maybe they find something in tech
the
that they don't like.
Circle's always moving.
You just never know. So you have to take advantage of these fast cars and win these races.
It's always evolving, and if you're on top of the circle now, it might start the downward swing next week. You never know. So, yeah, you need to win when you can.
Let's spot on, spot off the Texas All-Star Race format and aero package. Jason, you want to read it?
I had to write down the format on this giant piece of paper because there's so many different rules. I'll go over it pretty quick.
This might be an hour for you to read how this works.
All right, 6 rounds, 100 laps. Round 1 through 4 is 15 laps. Round 5 is 30 laps. Round 6 is 10 laps. At the beginning of round 2, the field will be inverted via a random draw between 8 and 12 cars. Round 3, the field will be inverted
before round
3. Round 4, again, a field invert via random draw between 8 and 12 cars. Then round 5, the starting lineup will be a cumulative finish of rounds 1 through 4 with a mandatory pit stop.
That's awesome. Can you repeat that?
Spot on, spot off, Freddie. And I also want to know, how, as a spotter, are you guys going to keep track of this?
We're not. I mean, I don't know.
Hopefully there's a gigantic
You know what I'm going to do?
Thing on that monitor, on a screen
like
on the back,
like
telling you what we're
live
doing.
Live scoring?
Yeah, telling us what we're doing.
My plan is I got to get in a race first, so we got to go all the way to Texas to hope just to get in a race. But before that, I think I'm going to do is just have Bob come with me and just stand next to me, and he can explain everything to me as we go, because there's no way I'm going to know what's going on the entire time.
Well, when
time.
You don't make the race, can he stand next to me after that?
Bob is a safe
I'll sell
pick.
Bob after that.
I mean,
Jeez,
you
man.
Should offer Bob up.
The other thing, like, listen, okay, we've all seen, everybody's talking about how confusing the format is, but like, let's talk about the package. Like, we've complained about like low horsepower here, and we're going to take less horsepower to Texas for the pack. We're going to run I think it's the cup. I mean, the plate package, which is a 510 horsepower. Which is
here's my favorite part about this whole thing, is it's NASCAR's series. It's NASCAR's All Star Race, and they sent Eddie Gossage to deliver the message about what we're going to do for the All Star Race. So I'm watching Eddie Gossage go through this, and I'm like, what the f- is he talking about? I could not.
Jason writes out.
I could not keep up with what the rules were, and it all boils down to this: our teams are going to leave Charlotte, North Carolina. They're going to go all the way to Dallas, Texas, for a 10-lap shootout. That's what it comes down to. And so, look, a 10-lap shootout with this aero package at a mile and a half is crap
that's
racing.
That's only the teams that make it.
It's crap racing. A 10-lap shootout at a mile and a half is crap racing. So if we're going to do that, I have an idea. I want us to put 40-lap scuffs on the cars for that last stage. Maybe that'll make it exciting.
Not the spoiler off the thing.
We got to do – I mean, this is the All-Star race. So if you're going down there with a science project, which this format is definitely a science project, and you're going to go down there and change the horsepower on the cars, then let's try something big.
Not the spoiler off the thing, man.
Yeah.
Would you like to be – and listen, we give them a lot of crap on here, but how would you like to be Rick Ware Racing or the Double Zero – that have to tow out to Texas to run the open with knowing you have no shot to get in because the charter teams
you have to run it
is mandatory to run the All-Star race.
Yeah, and it pays like $100 to run that open.
You know what they should do? Go out there and put barriers up and make us run above the grip. Use this All-Star race to run
just
the higher
cones
lanes
all the way to the corner.
I got an idea. Just put tires, scatter them out down the back stretch, and just race. Stay green.
You can only go for 15 laps.
TJ, what do you think about this format? Confused yet?
Yeah, I quit after the second 15-lapper. 15 laps of Texas is still a long time anyway.
It's like 100-lap. What is it, 50 laps?
100 laps.
100 laps, right?
Oh, it's a long way at Texas. Jeez. I'll know what we're going to be running after like lap four. So, and that's
what you think. But then you got to spin a wheel and then roll a dice. And then
I'd rather just do that from the beginning. 20. Like run five laps, spin it. Run five laps, spin it.
I used to love they had this all-star race at New Hampshire for the modifieds every year, not every year, but like the last 4 or 5 years, and they did the same thing. Like, we're going to have an invert of 2, 4, 6, or 8, and we're going to spin the wheel at the break, and you knew you wanted to be 8th because every year it was weighted so bad it would just go right to 8 every time. So you just everybody after like the first year, everybody just realized, okay, we got to go back to 8th here, so everybody funnel back.
After Kokomo, I love the invert because Wyndham ended up starting on the pole after qualifying 8th, so I'll take it.
This package is not good for inverting, though. I mean, you're going to
– Whoever you put on the pole is going to win. Yeah.
We moved this race from Charlotte, which is a lot like Texas. Not exactly like Texas, but a lot like Texas. We moved it to Bristol. I was all for that. I thought that was awesome, you know. Yeah. And now, because of the way the COTA thing shook out, you know, Texas is the promoter of that race. So they shifted the All-Star race to Texas and – I mean, once again, who sat down to come up with this formula? Is it Texas Motor Speedway? Is it NASCAR?
How much horsepower are they knocking?
Somebody at Harvard.
How much horsepower are they knocking out?
It's like 60 or 70 horsepower.
See, why not just, if you're going to do it, knock out a bunch. Let's get them slowed down a bunch. Like go, if you're going to experiment, don't just
They need to make them. Do you remember we did that late model race at Charlotte for the Toyota commercial?
Yeah, yeah.
That's the package we need.
Yeah.
Because we were 5 wide for the win.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Let's slow them way down so the air is not as big of an issue, and then it'll look like them little Mazdas running in Daytona. They're 5 wide across the line.
Man, I couldn't be more opposite of what you're saying, because I am still of the generation that thinks speed matters.
Oh, I'm fine.
And I know there's a lot of people saying, it don't matter how fast we're going, bullshit. It matters, and it matters a lot. The fact that the Xfinity Series is going to turn a lot faster lap times the day before you race, well, they're more all-stars than you are. Sorry.
I'm fine with giving them a ton of motor and knocking
this, the
spoiler.
This is like the NBA going to a 9-foot goal because enough people are in there. I mean,
we want to make this entertaining.
It's going to be even easier to drive with less horsepower. So this is literally like the NBA going, I tell you what, for our all-star game, we're going to make it a 9-foot goal.
I mean, I'm okay with making it real, like if you're going to do something for the All-Star, bring people closer together. But I, for the regular deal, every week. I'd love a lot of horsepower and less spoiler. I'd love to see that every single week. Kansas, everywhere we go. All the big tracks. I'd love to see it.
I think it's going to be fun regardless. I know we're giving everybody a hard time, but
NASCAR does a great job with, like, even just the pre-race, the post-race of it. Just the hype, I think, will be great.
I'm so excited about that $100,000. I mean, that's the pit crew guys. Unfortunately, the spotters aren't included, fellas.
Will they get 100 grand
on that bonus plan? Yeah, if your car spends the least amount of time on pit road and you have to do a four-tire stop, so line-to-line, no penalties, no lug nuts, no nothing crazy, right, 100 grand. So those pit crew guys,
the whole race?
No, for just one segment. Oh. One segment. That segment five has this this incentive built into it, right? So those guys can go out and win 100 grand.
Two tires.
And I was at a cup shop.
Just keep going.
I was at a cup shop last week.
Missed my stall.
And just so happened they were having pit practice, and I walked back there, and it hurt my heart because there was literally a COT or whatever the hell we're calling that Gen 7 or whatever the hell that zebra paint scheme thing. Anyway, it was sitting there. And it hurt my heart to look over there at that one lug nut car and look back at these guys busting off 20 lug nuts and getting around the car, and hand speed matters. And, you know, we've changed the game. I mean, the jack man has to be able to put the tire on the studs. Like, it is such an art. And you forget how much of an art it is watching the race where we watch it from up top. Being behind the wall, man, watching my buddy Lee hit five lug nuts, like, it literally was just like, man, this is – I mean, they were doing 11.8 second stops with five guys. It can't be any more insane. So those guys get a chance. Obviously, they're all competing, but those top guys are going to have a chance to win $100,000. That's awesome.
I missed that pit crew competition.
I was just about to say, that challenge is really cool. I would love to bring that back one day. At least they're doing something for them. Spot on, spot off, leaked images of the manufacturer's next-gen car unveiled before the announcement on Wednesday.
Who leaked them?
Good question.
Somebody used to have a job.
Brett,
I didn't see this.
I don't think it's about the worst picture you could ask for as well. So it's not like it's
somebody
good.
Walking. But did you see it? It's on.
No, whose Twitter leaked it?
Reddit is the first place I saw it.
Of course, Reddit. Reddit has it all.
Listen,
Freddie, what do you
think? I mean, spot on for the fans, spot off for whoever the guy was that lost his job. But listen, you know, I see people get crap for this all the time, like Bob and Gluck and Kelly, Utter, even anybody, whoever it is. Like, they get crap for breaking news. And,
that's their job.
And for one, that's their job. Two, 90% of the time, the news they break comes from the team that they're breaking the news about, or the driver, whatever it is. It's leaked to them, to somebody directly with the team. But listen, that's their job. And if you don't want your news to get out, or you don't want your pictures to get out, do a better job of protecting your information.
I mean, yeah, it is what it is. I mean, it's going to get out anyway. Yeah. I don't know what it really even means that it got out.
It's not even a great image. Like, you can't really, you can see a little bit of the Chevy looks very similar to what it does now. The Ford looked a little different. It's not like, hey, here's all three 4K images. You know, it's leaked images go out about everything.
Yeah,
pretty much.
What do you expect to be announced this week about it?
When are they making the announcement?
Wednesday.
Wednesday, I think.
Well, expect to see anything, or did we already see the images of the car? Because they've tested for the last.
I don't think you could see anything that you could really tell off of. You need to see all of them.
It changes the game, man. I tell you, you know, you walk into these cup shops. And you've got, you know, Hendrick and Penske and JGR and Stuart Haas with 500 employees. And a lot of those guys are building these race cars from the ground up. And that's not going to be needed anymore. You know, everything that is done right now with these super teams is what I like to call them. And I feel like we got four super teams, maybe five, if we include RCR in that conversation. Like, the supply chain is completely evolving now. You are able to quality control everything because you built everything from scratch, and now you're going to go out, all that's going to be outsourced with common vendors that are now supplying us these parts and these cars. And this is a huge evolution for NASCAR with where we're going with this thing.
Do you think it will help these smaller teams with less employees and less time, you know, with the traveling?
Casey, I believe that the cream will still rise to the top, and that the teams that have the funding, like the teams that I just mentioned, are going to still be the teams that you have to beat because they're going to have the best people and the best resources. And there's about 28 teams in our series that are in the racing business, and then the rest of them are in the ride around make money business. And I don't think they care what they have for chassis. It's not about racing. It's about turning a profit, And when you're worried about the bottom line in racing, you're not competitive. I've never seen one team worried about the bottom line to be competitive. I mean, we're sitting at Junior Motorsports. This team, their goal every year is to break even. They're not trying to make money. You know, they want to go out, race competitive, win races, race for championships. And that's why you see that on the racetrack. You know, when you look at Johnny Davis Motorsports in the same series, they have no interest in going out competing to win a race. They want to go out there, get their point fund money, get their purse money, go home and not tear their race car up. So I don't think this changes that game. Does it give, you know, a front row motorsports an opportunity maybe to be more relevant other than just the restrictor plate races? Maybe. That's certainly what NASCAR's after. Will that happen? To be determined.
I think, like you said, the teams that spend the money to find, well, next year, if everything's going to be identical, you know, you're buying, everything's coming from the same spots, the teams that have the resources to go out and find a tenth of a second, it's going to show up even that much more when everything else is supposed to be identical. So I think, like you said, the teams with the resources next year are going to have the big advantage.
There's a lot of things changing. The one thing I'm sick of hearing people say is it's going to save the team's money. It's going to cost the teams a fucking fortune next year. Their entire inventory is obsolete. They got to get rid of everything.
Well, we got to keep one car for the dirt race.
It's literally like we're a startup business in 2022, right? And then the second thing is they want parity with the cars, which is why I think they're doing this. They also, TJ, apparently want parity on pit road because they're only hitting one lug nut. Now it's not going to be about hand speed and changing tires. It's going to be about how fast can you get around the car because you're only having to hit one lug nut. So
Jackman will have to be – your Jackman probably need to be really good.
It's changed the entire game. So we're a brand new sport in my eyes next year. I mean, this is a huge rebrand. I don't know how much it's really being talked about as that. But new car, you know, new pit format. We used to see all these different ways. I mean, JGR, whether you like them or not, they kick your ass on pit road. Their pit crews are hands down the best in the business. They went and developed what we talked about being a million-dollar gun. NASCAR made a rule, hey, we're not going to let you use your own guns anymore. You got to use our guns. Well, guess what? They're still kicking everybody's butt on pit road at most of the places. So I just think, TJ, that this is a huge shift for the sport with the car, with the pit format. And I don't know what will happen. It's a big rebrand.
Every time we get a new car, it's a big shift. I mean, we went with the COT, it was a big shift. You know, we had them wings on the back, things like that. And, you know, it's always going to evolve. I'm not necessarily sold on the one lug nut thing myself. I liked seeing the guys go down there. And honestly, there was more room for air, more room for there wasn't as much passing on the track. Well, that's when you come down pit road and that's when mistakes could happen. And, you know, you can make up some ground that way. You knew if you had a good pit crew, you could rely on them, but still mistakes have happened. I mean, the car falls off the jack. We had a jack break at Phoenix last year. The guy had to go back over the wall and grab another jack. Well, we still only lost like five spots when he did that, but it's going to be different. And who knows? Maybe this new car with these, maybe they aren't as glued. Maybe these guys have their hands full a little bit more moving around. That's what I hope for. I hope the guys have their hands full and have to race. You're not really racing the race car as much as what they used to, in my opinion. You're not having to manhandle the race car like what they did. I mean, look at Kyle Busch at Dover. He'd come off turn four sideways every single lap. Jimmy, those guys, they were wheeling them race cars. I just don't feel like there's such a fine line. Like you used to be able to drive the car sideways through the corner. You can't do that now. Like you saw what Denny, one of the top guys in the series, he steps right over that line off of four, hits wall, you know, and there's just such a fine line. There is no just manhandling the car, which I hope this brings that.
I'll tell you who is getting ready to get paid next year.
Who's that?
Gasman. Gasman is going to be the most important guy on your stop. You better be able to hook that thing up and keep it hooked up because you're going to be waiting on gas every time.
Yep.
So, I mean,
that's why I saw those gas cans in the back of your truck.
Yeah, I'm practicing. but that's going to be the huge part. And I'm sure these teams are going to figure out ways to trick that up to where their fuel flows faster than yours. So, you know, it's just another little thing that teams can work on. But that's going to be probably the most important part of the pit stop.
I want to see a new manufacturer come in here because, to me, If that happens, this becomes a win. If it doesn't happen, it becomes a why do we even do this at all? Because we, you know, regardless of what you think and regardless of how this plays out, we don't have salary caps. We don't have spending caps, right? You can spend as much as you want to spend. We got a lot of billionaires in this space. That's with a B. So you can't tell these teams how they're going to spend their money. They're going to spend as much as they can in whatever area they're looking for an advantage. Joe Gibbs Racing, if they thought that gun was going to give them an advantage, guess what? They spent $1 million on it. Stuart Haas Racing, if they think they can find something, you know, arrow-wise in the nose of the cart and it cost them $3 million, guess what? Gene Haas has got $3 million. So I still think the cream rises to the top. It comes down to resources. Resources start with money. Money hires the right people. Those people find speed on the racetrack.
I think was it you that I was talking about the manufacturers with about when Toyota came in versus what they're trying to do now?
Yeah.
Like Toyota came in because NASCAR was an attractive asset to them. They wanted to be a part of it. Now it feels like we're dumbing down our sport to try to attract people to come in. Like, just let's put the best product we can on the racetrack and make people want to come to us.
This Door Bumper Clear podcast is brought to you by our friends at RacingUSA.com, America's online headquarters for NASCAR merchandise for more than 20 years.
As Google's top-rated source for NASCAR merchandise, RacingUSA.com has a wide assortment of driver diecast hats, apparel, helmets, and novelties for the sport's most popular drivers.
For example, RacingUSA.com currently has more than 500 different collectible diecast cars available for 39 different drivers, including this weekend's Kansas winner, Kyle Busch's race-winning diecast.
RacingUSA.com is truly unique. They automatically discount items in your cart so you get the best price. They offer free upgrades to expedited shipping.
They guarantee the lowest pre-order prices. They ship all in-stock orders the next business day. And as an added bonus, you can enter to win this month's $200 gift card.
So whenever you want something new to show your support for your favorite driver, shop RacingUSA.com, America's online headquarters for NASCAR merchandise for more than 20 years.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
And it's time for Reaction Theater. First call is from
wait for this.
Troy.
F***ing Christ. Now we know why Denny Hamlin ain't never won a f***ing championship. Motherfucker run out of talent. Just like his boy Bubba. Come on, Hamlin, get your shit together. Let's fucking win one. Yep.
Is he a Denny fan or not? I can't tell.
I couldn't tell. I think he probably bet on him.
I hate to tell you this, Troy, but Denny's a Hall of Famer, bud. With or without a championship.
I was just going to say, we were able to hold Harvick off with a 3/10 faster lap car last year for about 40 laps.
Pat's cell phone back.
Yeah.
TJ, you suck.
Oh, I forgot to play that part.
He did it on purpose.
I'm going to do my best to get through a nice message. So here goes. Wish me luck. Casey, you're great. Love you. Congratulations on the baby boat. I think motor would have been a stupid name. It clearly should have been pontoon or fishing. Brett, you're awesome. Greatest spotter ever. Freddie, you're all right, I reckon. Jason, okay. We'll move on from that, too.
I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't do it. TJ, you suck.
I still like Motor.
Greg, you're still like my motor. Favorite.
Pontoon would be a great name.
Pontoon. Well, you know, if we have another one, I'll keep him on the list. Thanks, Greg.
Brett, you fucking suck. Your Gamecocks suck. Pagelin sucks. I'm just kidding. You're all right, dude. Pagelin ain't that bad.
Yeah,
go Tigers, though. TJ, you suck, man. I'm sitting here watching Larson get used to running this package again. He's kind of struggling with it.
How'd that work?
He's only out about a half a second on the field. So
half a second's not a lot.
Half a second. He had about 8 seconds there at one point.
Half a second. I think he meant to say half a track.
Yeah.
I've got my candidate for what an idiot this week. And actually, this guy's been an idiot for the last 3 or 4 years. Whoever the guy is who decided it was smart to no longer show Victory Lane on television, I don't know how you people even operate like that. I mean, I guess you hate celebrating and drinking beers and confetti going everywhere and just happiness in general. That guy. You know, they say you can't fix stupid. I guess that just comes to prove it.
I didn't know they don't show Victory Lane.
I didn't either. I thought he got in and went back to Victory Lane and they celebrated.
I thought they did both interviews.
Well, I think Victory Lane looks a little bit different right now.
Yeah. What's stupid is I can't even go to Victory Lane. I fly on an airplane with these guys.
You and me both.
But we win and we can't go to Victory Lane. Got to leave the racetrack. Me and Freddie went to the car after the win and we drove to the hotel. Jeb Burton's first ever Xfinity Series win. I'd like to high-five the guy, but nope. Got to go to the hotel.
Dude, I've been trying to get to that stage at Bristol forever. Still haven't been there. I got a sword, though. That's kind of cool.
That is cool. I won Texas and didn't even get a cowboy hat. By the time I got to Victory Lane, they were gone.
That stinks.
I know.
Hey, Freddie, why don't you tell Bubba, Indeed.com is a great place to find a new job because both you are going to be out of employment next year. You guys suck.
Oh, my gosh.
I got bad news for that guy.
I don't think they're going to be out of a job, man.
Ruthless.
Freddie gets a 40% raise next year, guy.
Congratulations.
How many more times this year are we going to have to watch Kyle Larson the bed with the fastest car on track? At this point, I'm starting to feel like Rick Hendrick needs a tattoo with choking hazard to his forehead. TJ, you're awesome. Brett Griffin, eat.
Jeez.
Well, I don't think we're going to go there.
I can't argue with him on any front. On, I can't, on any front not, there.
I got enough money, yeah. Robert, that I don't have to eat. Thank God.
Well, you still owe us Chick-fil-A. So.
Yeah.
Hey, Freddie. Bubba Wallace sucks. And love you, TJ.
Jeez. Jason picked out the nice one this week.
The tide's turning from TJ. He's getting love today.
I don't know what Bubba. What, I mean, I'm trying to figure out. Bubba just racing. He had an accident. Freddie just spotting it.
If you're going to call me and tell me I suck, at least like say you bald headed gap tooth fat. Like if all you can give me when call me to put me down as I suck, like don't even waste your time.
I'd like to
don't tell me Gamecocks suck because no I watch them every single day.
Jason's literally there going like I need to sleep.
I mean, at least tell me why. At least say, hey, Brett, you suck because you did this. I mean,
we'll challenge everyone not to use the word suck next week in Reaction Theater.
No,
and
don't
see
do
how
that.
Because
no.
I want them to say we suck, but I want to hear why.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be descriptive. Greg,
you won that race. You suck.
You're great.
Don't be quantitative with your you suck. Be qualitative with it. If you idiots even know what that means.
Those are big words.
That are calling in, telling us we suck.
Jeez.
Well, I never thought that motherfucking Kyle Larson would be on my bad side, but he had to wreck Blaney because I guess he's still mad about Atlanta. Dumb son of a At least he didn't get wrecked by one of his teammates like he normally does. TJ, you're all right, but Joey Logano fucking sucks.
What was the Brett at the end?
I think this is the next one.
Oh.
Brett, you're old as fuck. Freddie and Bubba are both fucking out of luck. But above all, TJ, you fucking suck. By the way, hey, Freddie, what does Denny Hamlin's taste like?
Jesus. Oh, my gosh. These are getting out of control, man.
I think I went to high school with that guy.
I think that was Brett.
That sounded like some of my buddies.
I liked Reaction Theater when they really commented on events that happened in a race more. Now it's not even...
They're attacking us.
Now it's just
coming after you.
Yeah, it's like
they comment on the race, but then they just add all this
stuff. Yeah, but they're not even making good comments about the race. Like, makes have something with substance.
Something's got to happen in the race first.
Like Brett said, I mean, you fat.
I know how to bring it.
To be a fan of DBC, you must know about Freddy and how he loves Denny. Even though it don't make sense to me. I mean, we get he's your boss, but nobody likes a brown noser.
He does. That's a good song, Tyler.
To leave an audio message 24/7, go to anchor.fm/dormupperclear and click the message icon. We will play the best ones each week on the show, and let's get a little bit more creative rather than you suck. Maybe like
why
Brett sucks, you know.
Why is he talk Denny Hamlin not running into the wall by himself a spot? Not why was it not a spot
well,
on?
Well, I considered
on?
That, but like, how are you gonna say spot on? He ran in the wall by
I
himself.
I wanted to hear it, Fred. That's perfect for Fred.
All right,
I
spot
mean.
On, spot off. Denny Hamlin runs himself into the wall.
Is that considered choking as well?
Freddie, this one's for you.
It's gonna be my one idiot. I'm just kidding. hey, trying to win the race.
Won't do it. Spot on or spot
trying
off,
to,
Brett.
Trying to hold a damn rocket ship back.
It was a rocket ship.
Offer pad question of the week.
How is your kitchen designed and set up in your home, and how often do you spend time in there? Freddie.
All the time. I cook dinner just about every <couldn't tell>. Night. no, mine's, I don't know, standard setup. It's
well, you
open.
Made Thanksgiving in there last year.
I made everything. I cook all the time.
With COVID.
I know.
That was Christmas. That was Christmas.
Oh, Christmas.
Yeah,
gotcha.
That was Christmas. Yeah, side of COVID. I don't know. I got a big island in the middle of it, and there's a little, like, breakfast table or something in my bars in my kitchen, so... I don't know. We spend a lot of time in there.
My kitchen's probably the longest kitchen I've ever
you
seen.
You do got a big kitchen.
I would say my kitchen is probably, what? What would you say, 60 feet?
Yeah.
Jeez.
Something like that.
My kitchen's like stupid long. I mean, the bar is...
Does that go into the RPG room? Or
no, it goes into the living room.
That's better. That's not bad.
Yeah, I mean, I live in my kitchen. And, I mean, obviously there's a bar in there that feeds into like a little table you can sit at. It's not a breakfast table. It's like just part of the bar.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we're eating in there and cooking and watching TV. But kitchen, hands down, if you're about to build a house or buy a house, you have to get a badass kitchen because you're only going to do two things in your house. Hang out in your kitchen and sleep in your master bedroom.
Yeah, my kitchen's pretty standard. One, the room on the front side is the big dining room. The room on the other side is the little... whatever you call that, dinner, breakfast nook area.
Yeah.
No island or anything, but the only thing I wish my house had was I can't stand the microwaves above the stoves. I want a real fan up there because them fans, when you're cooking down there, the fans or the microwaves really don't do much at all.
No.
So, but we got kids and stuff, and you got daddy daycare. You're in the kitchen a lot.
What you need is this ridiculous fan that when you're cooking, it just comes up out of your center island and
just
sucks all the smoke yeah. out of your kitchen like some jackass I know.
So that's what I got. So I got in my island is where my gas stove is.
Oh, so it comes right down.
And so
yeah.
I just hired this new cleaning service, and it was an 8-hour ordeal for them to come in and do their initial cleaning, right? But you have this
Jesus.
Button you press behind my stove, and this thing comes up, and it does. It sucks all the smoke out, right?
Is it right behind?
Well, they screwed up my damn thing. It doesn't work. So they left it up, and now it's stuck up. So when you walk in my house, there's this stainless steel fan that sticks up out of my island.
So that
you got that house.
The off week we rented a beach house in Isle of Palms, and it had one of them.
Yeah,
I hit this button thing. I'm like, whoa, what's going on here? I didn't know what it was. And yeah. Rich people.
Go get a cash offer on your home today with our presenting sponsor, OfferPad.com. It's time for us to get our favorite Xfinity XFi More Than Fast moments from the week. Whether you're behind the wheel or online, speed isn't the only thing you need. What were your favorite More Than Fast moments this week? Brett.
I got to say Kyle Busch winning that truck race because he was struggling on a couple restarts, and then boom, when it mattered, here comes KFB, fast moment of the race for me.
Yeah, he's pretty good in those trucks. Mine was Kevin Harvick, the two-tire call there to get some track position, and then the last restart, he shoved Brad down into turn one and shoved him through the entry to turn one up to the top and kind of stacked the top up and opened the bottom up for himself to get through the field there, finished P2, so that was my more than fast moment.
I'm going to give my more than fast moment to my girl, Haley Deegan. She drove up into the top 10, really fast truck, really comfortable out there, fast all night. So finally somewhere where she's been more than once. So looking forward to some going back to some of these places with her down the road.
My girl talking about my girl.
My TikToker.
Haley.
We like it fast here on Door Bumper Clear, but what we really like is being more than fast.
And thankfully, there's always tons of action for our Xfinity X5 More Than Fast moments.
You know what else is more than fast? Xfinity X5.
With the speed for all your devices, you get reliability, security, and that keeps your crew connected and protected.
On the track, being more than fast means you've got the teamwork and strategy to win.
With Xfinity X5, you can do more of what you love with faster internet and a powerful and secure connection.
Follow at Xfinity Racing on Twitter for even more Xfinity X5 More Than Fast moments. And don't forget to vote for your favorites.
Thank you to Xfinity, proud premier partner of NASCAR.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's time for Fastlane, our weekly segment where we expose the intelligence levels of our panel of spotters by having them compete in a speed trivia contest. Ready?
Yeah.
Who finished directly behind Joey Logano on Sunday?
Oh my gosh. No clue.
Time's up.
No clue.
How many lead changes took place on Sunday?
10.
What is Brett's mom's name?
Oh, I know this. Oh my gosh, I know it.
Starts with a G.
Shady.
Rhymes with Shady.
Gladys?
What have you been doing?
Glady, yeah.
Okay. Well, Gladys is close. We'll give you that.
Right,
we'll
I knew. I know what it is. I mean,
that's what people, when I meet her for the first time, they're like, Glady? I'm like, how do you get Glady out of this? It's Lady with a G.
Which cells in your body destroy germs?
White blood cells.
What is the square root of 144?
12, sure. I'm sitting there doing math in my head.
Bowman finished behind Joey, and there were 18 lead changes.
Great,
together
wrecked without somebody right behind. Never mind.
Brett, you ready?
Yes,
thanks,
I can't
thanks
wait.
For that spot, Freddie.
Stoked.
How many Career Cup wins does Kyle Busch have?
Ooh, 32.
What?
Who led the most laps on Sunday?
Is it 50-something?
Oh, I thought it was Kyle Larson.
I'm sorry, what? Who led the most laps? Kyle Larson.
What is Freddie's mom's name?
God, I don't know his mom's name. Miss Kraft. Winner.
Who wrote the classic book characters Tom Sawyer and Huckleberry Finn?
God, I should know this. Daniel Boone.
Oh my God. What does the Roman numeral X equal?
10.
58 wins for Kyle Busch now in his cup career. Freddie's mom's name is Kathy.
Kraft.
Good job. You're right. Mark Twain wrote
TJ,
the,
what's your mom's name before I get started? Let me look up TJ on Twitter. Right
now. What?
Hey, there's a Beach Boys song named after.
Oh.
Literally, first and middle name.
Okay.
What was Stifler's mom's name?
Stifler's mom.
Remember how fun she was?
Hot.
Stifler's mom.
Dude, that kid. Damn, is your mom going to be there? Shut up.
I love that movie.
So funny.
What number does Bubba's finishing position minus his starting position equal?
10?
Who finished last on Sunday?
No idea.
47, maybe.
What is TJ's mom's name?
No idea.
Barbara
Ann?
Yeah.
Barbara Ann.
Barbara Ann.
There you go.
What is the capital of New Hampshire? Come on.
You got it.
Is it Manchester?
No,
it's Concord.
No, man, that's not
right. Is it Concord?
Yes.
I thought it was Manchester.
There's that big-ass Capitol building right
there. I know, but I thought that was Manchester.
You literally pass it. I mean, you can't.
But I thought that was Manchester.
Eat Mexican in the jail. And
yes,
the Capitol.
That is the best Mexican restaurant. All right, what is 91 divided by 7?
No idea. 13. All right. Your finishing position minus your starting position is 13. And Josh Blicky finished last, Concord, Captain New Hampshire. 13, 91 is divided by 7.
Perfect. It's so much easier to know other people's questions.
It is. I feel like I know everyone else's way better.
I give Freddie hard ones now because...
I mean, you literally gave Brett probably the easiest question with Larson.
No, the easiest question was Roman numeral.
Nah, these ones
Larson. How many laps did Larson lead?
Who led the most laps?
Yeah.
Hey, what's up, DBC fans? If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let us explain.
Well, first of all, Freddie... The best part is it's free. There's nothing better than using a free, awesome service.
To make the process simple and easy, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer.
Anchor helps people find your show by distributing the podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more platforms.
Also, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership.
I like money.
It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place.
We love using Anchor. It's a great platform that lets us hear from the fans in Reaction Theater with Anchor's Leave a Message feature.
So when you create your account with Anchor, you can also utilize their feature and make your own podcast. TJ will be your first guest.
So download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. That's ANCHOR.FM to get started.
What an idiot. Brett, did you find it?
I got to go back on this one.
You're an idiot for losing who your idiot was.
A quick story. Okay. So we had Jeb on the show last week, and I meant to bring this up while he was on here, but fans need to hear this, right? So when I first saw Jeb Burton ever in my life, he was this little kid running around a motorhome lot, right?
And Brett, you see my boy?
And I'll never forget what he would do on race days. He would go and he would see fans lining the fence. Right. And he would go get their item and say TJ was lining the fence and he was a Jeff Gordon fan. He would go get the hat and then he would take it to Jeff's bus. He would get Jeff to sign it. Then he would sell the hat back to the guy through the fence. So, solid. I mean, Elliot and I are in there. We're playing Halo before driver intros. And I mean, you'd watch this kid out the window just keep getting all this money. And then next thing you know, here he's coming in Elliot's bus, wanting Elliot Sadler autograph. So NASCAR caught word of this. And they cracked the whip on him. They made him stop doing it. So I got to give Jeb my what an idiot moment for this one.
What an idiot. That sounds like a genius. I wouldn't call him an idiot. I think it was his mom or somebody tweeted that he used to get all the drivers at South Boston to sign the program, and then he would go back out and sell all the signed programs. So I don't know. You can call him an idiot, but I think he's a genius.
I think that's genius. Pristine Auction needs to hire him.
He's a hustler.
Solid.
That's actually a good deal.
TJ.
I'll let Freddie go first.
I don't know if I have one.
I know. I'm still.
I don't remember.
You've been talking about everybody since we started. You got a bunch of idiots.
I mean, I got a bunch of idiots. I saw a guy spin on the pit road yesterday. We can give him an idiot award. That was impressive.
Yeah, but he got it straightened out.
As slow as he's going, I don't know how he spun out.
I almost went with Briscoe because I didn't understand why he got in that truck. You know what I mean? Like, that wasn't a good truck.
I didn't even know he was in the race.
I know he wants track time, but. Man, I almost feel like it's a double-edged sword because he goes and gets in that truck that's not a very good truck. He doesn't run good. I don't know if you learn anything. You certainly don't help your confidence.
I'll tell you.
I was upset when I saw him in that entry, to be honest.
You know, I'm going to go the opposite because I don't really have an idiot this week, but I'm going to go with a guy that I don't know a ton about but ran well unnoticed was Bailey Curry.
I'm sorry.
Is that bad?
No, but this picture is killing me. It just popped up on my Twitter.
Who is it?
It's a picture of Joey and TJ?
Yeah.
It's a little kid, but somebody put TJ's head on his body.
I'm so glad the
I'll
kid,
send it to Jason.
Yeah.
I'm so glad that the kid that was walking around with the Joey thing finally ran
well,
you know.
So while you're talking about I've got what an idiot now that you brought that up. Yes, Bailey Curry did run very well, better than I expected in that 45.
Yeah.
But I'll give my what an idiot to whoever decided to get rid of Brett Moffitt just because he declared for Xfinity points, because he's going to give you the best chance to run good on a weekly basis. And I've heard now rumors that team might even go away because they don't have the funding to run the rest of the year. But, wow. I don't understand that decision when you've got a guy, a champion, that's going to run well and put him in your truck.
Time for DBC picks.
I won.
look how close I got.
Losers.
How about my guy is the guy Freddie Rex.
Coming back.
I only lost by 2 spots with Suarez.
Wow.
I had you both covered until Freddie couldn't handle it anymore and wrecked me.
TJ, you're first.
Where are we going?
Darlington.
Oh, gosh.
I can't wait. I love Darlington.
Man.
I can't wait to see all the
throwbacks. Freddie, you better win this weekend with Jeb.
Okay.
Back to back.
He's starting so far back, I can't pick him this week. I really want to roll with Tyler Reddick, but he's going to be so far back. I'm going to go with Kevin Harvick.
Ooh, that's a big pick.
I don't know who I want. You know who I'll take? I'll go with the boss man, Denny Hamlin.
Well, it just so happens that's probably his best track. So you both have thrown up big picks. I'm going to go with a lob right here. I'm going to lob up a guy who certainly isn't bad there, Ryan Newman.
Good pick. I just can't believe. I looked up. I knew Suarez was getting close at the end, and I was like, tell me I stole this DBT. When I got on the plane, I looked. I was like, damn, 2 spots.
2 spots. Sorry, man. Darlington, what's your schedule like this weekend? When are you guys heading down there?
Yeah, we got to drive. Do you go back and forth or you stay down
there? Yeah, but I don't have to go Saturday.
But you got to go Friday.
Friday and Sunday.
So Truck racing. I don't understand. Didn't we do this last year where they were the same day? Like, didn't we do a doubleheader Saturday and then
– Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And then we're in a cup race Sunday? Like, I don't know why we're not doing that again. As short as the races are, let me tell you something. We talk about race distances on here. The Darlington, Xfinity, and truck races are the perfect length races. I think it's like 150 laps, 147 laps, and they're over in like 2 hours. You get a lot of action. It's the perfect race length. And then we go and run for 17 hours on Sunday.
Yeah, I think and last year, that's when – Is this the race Briscoe and Kyle went at it?
This is definitely the race they went at it.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
And then this is the race where our truck guys were racing at the end.
Yeah, my guys stepped on it.
You gave me that win. Thanks.
Yep.
Yeah, we had Briscoe on the show right after that win. A huge win for him.
Yeah.
I mean, anytime you're going up against a guy like Kyle Busch, man. And I'll say this about Kyle. You know, I feel like this no practice thing and him limited in how many races he can run has really hurt his cup performance. So getting that win, getting that monkey off his back may point that team in a new direction. We knew he'd win a race. He's won a race for 17 years in a row, you know, but they say also, that team's not as dominant as they once were.
Something else happened in the exchange. Was it Denny?
Denny and Ross was the next race. Yeah.
That's right.
But again, I mean, we're talking about phenomenal races in the Xfinity Series, 147 lap race. Like, it is literally my favorite race of the year that's not a plate track.
And could you imagine the throwback weekend? I mean,
could you imagine the Cup guys in them Xfinity cars?
Yeah.
That would be a fun to watch.
Yes.
How about our buddy John Wood? Did you see that deal with the Wood Brothers and their throwback scheme?
No. What did he do?
He said, hell with it. I'm doing mine on the Southern 500. He said, y'all can have this weekend. I'll run my throwback at the second race. Good job. He's going to be the only one everybody's looking at.
Well, it's his paint scheme. He can do whatever he wants with it.
If I was John Wood, I'd paint it up like a 15-passenger van.
Just all white.
with license plate hanging off the back.
Of windows on it.
I wonder why we moved that throwback to this race versus Labor Day.
Probably just to draw excitement. Like, if the Southern 500 is the Southern 500, you know, that's going to draw a crowd no matter what. But then this one, you know, will be – you got the throwback draw.
It said it was a playoff race, too, so – sponsors wanted their normal branding for that.
Yeah, it's understandable.
Yeah.
Is this race 500 miles or 400?
400.
400.
Hallelujah. That just got a little better.
That only takes it from 17 to 14 hours.
Might as well move the start time back. Might as well start it at 10 o'clock.
Well, that's the thing. Like, so I'm going to drive back and forth, and then so we got to go down there Friday night for the truck race. It's like 7:30. Back Saturday morning for the Xfinity races at 1. And then back Sunday, I'm sure it's 2:00.
You might as well just get a
beach
house.
What are the odds Freddie gets a ticket?
Herm's got a on Oak Island. Maybe I'll just go stay at his house.
What are the odds Freddie gets a ticket? Because you got to go through Pageland and all that.
I promise you, if I get a ticket down there, I'm not going to pay for it.
You can go as fast as you want through Pageland. I'm best friends with the mayor. And then the other tickets, I can get you out of them.
I don't understand how so many people like you.
I had a fan tweet me and go, hey, man, seriously, I got a speeding ticket at the beach. Can you send me your lawyer's number? I'm like, yeah, here you go, bud. I'll get you out of it. I mean, it's crazy, man, the Twitter,
don't,
the power
don't
of the Twitter.
Don't speed through where, Brett? I say McBee, you say, what is it, MacBee?
Yeah, it's McBee. That's the way you say it, but it's MacBee is the way it really is. That peach stand right there you got to stop at. Speaking of Twitter, Travis Wolf, he hit me up, man. He's going to sponsor AJ Allmendinger in some races because he's a big, huge listener to the podcast. So it's cool to see fans have the – I mean, because when I grew up, I didn't know how to sponsor. First of all, I didn't have any money. But I would have not known how to get to a team to sponsor a car. So there's so many outlets now. That if you're a fan, you want to be in the sport, it's easy in.
I met Mike Slattery this week.
Really? Where was he?
That was our bourbon guy that sent the bourbon in a couple weeks ago. He was at the racetrack.
Awesome.
I had texted him to thank him for the bourbon. He's actually not on social media. Jason, I don't know how he tracked him down. I guess he must have sent a message or something. So I ran into him. His daughters were there first race. His buddy was at his first race. So they had a great time. So it was good to meet up with them guys.
His daughter's a big Logano fan.
Yeah, he sent me a picture.
Nobody's perfect.
He said, at least I told her. She said, I said, you don't like Logano, do you? And she said, yep. I said, well, we finally found somebody. So we know the one Logano fan.
I can't wait until we could do tweet ups again, and then we need to do a tweet up.
Yeah,
I agree. Need to go to a race first, Casey.
You know who else I saw this week? Old Dirty.
Did you?
Yeah, Dirty was a race fan this week. He texted me. He was heading in, so I got with him. He was ready to load it up. Beers ready to go. Cool. Old Dirty's Clint's old bus driver. He's one of our favorite people in the garage. But
oh man, I haven't seen him in a while.
It was good to see him.
Retired slinging cars.
He's slinging cars.
He sells about 18 cars a day.
Jeez.
At Clint Boyer Auto Mall out there in Emporia, Kansas.
Is that where he's working at?
Yeah.
What about you? How's your brother's new job going?
Hey, let me tell you something.
Is he fired yet?
No, he's been there all week, and Brad Sweet has not lost a race since John started there. I told him, I told Casey, listen, John's going to be coming for a raise on Monday, just so you know.
Maybe you need to hire your brother.
Yeah. That hasn't worked because he's been working for me for 3 years.
2311, sending a resume.
Oh, I saw our favorite driver, Jade, won something last night.
Yeah, it was a great weekend for Team CBI.
Yeah.
And then next weekend's Power Ride. And I would also like to give a shout out to Nothing Bundt Cakes because I surprised Chad with cake on his birthday. They won. And I'm pretty sure it was Jamie Little's store in Indy. So thank you, Jamie.
Is that a chain?
Yeah,
never
Nothing
Bundt
Cakes, the best cake.
The one in Huntersville.
They should not sponsor us.
They should.
You can give us money, no product.
You know you can ask for like products. Extra icing and stuff too.
Oh, I got Austin Beers on. So I made a deal with Austin like a month ago. He said, if I win a race, will you wear my shirt? I said, of course. So he's finished second and third all month, like to Matt Hirschman. Like three times to Matt Hirschman and then yesterday to Hirschman again. So I'll have the shirt on.
He had Matt beat that one race and kind of gave it to him.
Let him drive around him on the outside. Yeah. He's been learning from the Hirschmans. He needs to listen to me a little bit more.
I mean, so let me ask you this. Them guys, talented race car drivers, huge respect. Do they have other jobs other than just driving?
So Matt, I know Matt does. So Hirschman Garage and Speed, Tony's dad, basically builds or works on Troyer race cars. Now it's Troyer LFR, whatever. Matt has a day job too. He works at a local gym or something. But like majority of them modified drivers have day job. Doug Kobe's in real estate. There's none of them. Timmy Salamito runs his own apparel and design company.
Zegedy was
Zegedy's an oil man.
Yeah.
He was delivering oil for a living. Just about, there's no modified guy that's just
making a living
independently
off
wealthy.
Driver.
Yeah, no. The only guy in the modified race that's making a living on racing is Priest. And he was before. You know, he worked a little bit for his dad's company, but he maintained his cars too. So he would get paid by the team owner to maintain his cars. But 90% of them guys that I'm aware of all have day jobs.
Yeah. They're like local racers, just. Everyone that I've ever worked with has had a normal job during the week.
Yeah.
Well, thank you all for listening. Don't forget to leave us nice messages.
I can't wait to watch you boys at Darlington, South Carolina, home away from home. Only an hour and a half from Myrtle Beach, by the way.
I'm just glad you're not coming because every race you go to rains. So I'm glad you're not coming.
Well, I might just ride down there just for old time's sake. We're playing baseball, going to see my mom on Sunday for Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to all you moms out there. We literally wouldn't be here without you.
Happy Mother's Day, Casey.
Thanks.
This is first one, right? I mean, first
gonna
one.
Be your first officially. One.
First Mother's Day. It's weird.
It's weird because you've been calling Brett a mother the whole show now. Yeah. So
okay.
Just send me a card too.
So I have a funny story. We could probably save this for another episode. Yeah. Now we'll save it.
Save it.
All right.
Have a great week.
Put in your notes.
We're out. Bye. Holla.
Words. See ya.
Check out Dirty Mo Media on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Dirty Mo.